Chip Flory joins me. He's the editorial director for Pro Farmer. We're about to get ready on the crop tour tomorrow. We kind of went over some things with folks about what to do and what to look for with scouting. I guess, talk to me first of all, what do you expect as we go out here and look at stuff here in South Dakota and Nebraska today?
Yeah, you know, one of the most important things that we do or try to do, it's almost impossible, but we try to check our expectations at the door, leave them there, and go out and let this thing be a discovery process. Because if you let that happen, it will tell you a lot about the yield potential on corn and soybean crops out here. But with that being said, of course I've got my expectations. Last year was an awesome year in South Dakota. They got the crop planted on time in 2015. That crop really came along strong. It was an awesome crop, corn crop and soybean crop in South Dakota last year. This year there was some corn that got planted early and then they had a gap. So we're going to be looking at two different maturities on this crop out here this year. We're going to be looking closely at stands. One of the things that we do is we count the number of ears that are going to make grain on 2 30-foot plots while we're out there. And obviously, this being our 24th tour, we've got lots of back data on this. And the ear counts continuously, year to year, have been going up. This is one of those years where we might not see an increase in ear populations because of that cold snap that hit around Mother's Day. There's been some that early wet start for some of those fields. And then there are some areas in northeast Nebraska, Minnesota, that just got too much rain on that crop at different times. So it's going to be a challenge to match up with the ear pops that we had a year ago. So that's a couple of things that we're going to be looking at. And then while it wasn't super hot this summer, it was above normal temperatures. And the impact of those temperatures on this corn crop, you know, you drive by it down the road, Ben, and you think this is every bit of 175.1 bushels per acre across the entire corn belt. You get past the end rows and 35 paces into the field where we take those samples, and there's some issues in the center of the field.
That's one thing I was going to talk to you about. It seems like with the USDA predicting the largest corn crop this year, is this going to be the tell-all here this next week as to what we find here?
Well, USDA's number is the number, obviously. But we do like the way that the crop tour results have tracked with USDA's final estimates. And not only in trend or direction from year ago, but also into the degree of increase or decrease from the previous year. And when we're looking at the state-by-state yields, if we would happen to pull 150 bushel average yield out of South Dakota, don't just look at that number. Look at the change from a year ago crop tour and the percentage change. If it matches up with the percentage change that USDA saw from year ago to their August 1 estimate, then maybe we're looking at the same crop. Now, it only takes a few percentage points, and you start wondering whether or not you were looking at the same crop. And it's important to remember also, this year is the latest that the tour can run because it's always the third full week of August. Starting on August 21, first day in the field on August 22nd, a lot has changed in these cornfields since USDA was out there doing their yield sampling. So what we're really doing is identifying how much has the crop changed from when USDA took those samples till now.
This has been going on for about 24 or so years now. How is technology? It seems like technology has helped amazingly with this, is what it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. You know, when we started doing this thing, guys would come in at night. They'd hand me their sheets. We'd have a meeting, sit down, and at that time, when we'd sit down, it'd be some Domino pizzas and a case of beer, and we'd talk about what we saw that day for the out there on the road. And then I'd go up to the room, sit down with all the sheets, and enter in all the data. And then I'd get to bed about 4 o'clock in the morning, get up and do it all over again. Well, then came the fax machine, thank God, and we started faxing the data back to Pro Farmer headquarters in Cedar Falls, let a team handle the data entry there. And then for the last 3 years, we've been using apps out here on the road, and the scouts enter the data on themselves, automatically feeds into our data management system, and from there we can sort that data and run the calculations that we need to run when we're to calculate the yields and the pod counts.
Anything else you'd like to add today?
The scouts that are out here with us, I can never say enough about these people. We've got a great number of experienced scouts out here, a lot of farmers out on the western leg of the tour with us this year. So that raises my comfort level immediately, because there's going to be a farmer in every car or an experienced scout in every car. And that just gives me a lot of confidence going out. And as we were doing introductions in Sioux Falls, heading out the door, I think out here we've got seven different countries represented on the western leg of the tour. For the full tour, there's 12 different countries represented. And it's absolutely amazing the amount of interest that we get from around the world. And they're all coming for the same thing. They're here to network and to see what the yield potential is.
So it's pretty typical to have folks from across the world to come to this.
It is pretty typical, but to have a mix like we've got now, and I'm telling you guys, these are grain buyers, they're end users, they're purchasers, they're people that are using the products that we're producing. So it's a very important group that's with us.
Chip, thanks for your time today.
You bet, Ben. Thank you.